Hey everyone, Dawn Sarah here with Sex Gets Real. Don't forget that Wednesday, October 26th, I am hosting an online workshop all about anal. It's me live teaching you all about anal pleasure, anal anatomy, anal sex, how to get started with it, how messy is it really, and you can attend from anywhere in the world. So even though I'll be doing it live at 8 p.m. Eastern in the U.S. and Canada, if you sign up, you're going to get access to a 24-hour replay, which means whether you're in Asia or Europe or Australia, you'll have a chance to actually be a part of this workshop. There is going to be a Q&A with questions, and I want to see you there having fun and laughing right along with me as we talk everything butts. To sign up, go to sexgetsreal.com/butts. That's B-U-T-T-S. And don't forget, I want your voice as part of the new podcast intro I'm working on. All you have to do is call 747-444-1840 from a very quiet location with a really solid connection and say, you're listening to Sex Gets Real with Dawn Sarah. If you speak another language, feel free to replace the word listening with that language that you speak just because it might be fun. And if you have another sexy statement that you want to throw in, please do that because it's going to be a great big mashup of all different voices and inflections. And I think it's going to be a really fun way to get you as part of the show. So if you want to hear your voice and potentially be part of that intro, then just call 747-444-1840. And I will see you October 26th online so that we can all talk about butts. Here's the rest of the show. Joining me this week is Jerome Stewart Nichols from LTA Sex and creator of The Butters, which we're going to be talking about today. So welcome to the show, Jerome.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're so welcome. So Jerome, you are the creator of LTASex.com and mm-hmm. The Butters All Natural Lubricant. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I so much love about your bio is it says that your overarching goal is to help people live better, sex better, and love better. Mm-hmm. And that you enjoy a wide variety of geekery, creative ventures, and bending a willing, submissive boy over your knee. That's like, there's so much goodness in just those two sentences. I mean, like, live better, sex better, love better, and then all the geekery goodness. That's all delicious.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that we're going to talk about today. I'm really excited about some listener questions. But mm-hmm. one of the main things we want to talk about today is this lube that you've created that's called The Butters, which Yay. I have some, and I've put it in all the holes and all the places.
How do you like it?
I actually really, really like it a lot. It's it's so smooth and silky, and it feels very natural. Like mm-hmm. it feels like I feel when I'm really aroused and wet.
Right.
Which
right.
I really like. So it's got just this kind of like really nice kind of wet slickness to it that doesn't feel tacky at all, like water-based lubes can sometimes feel.
Which I hate so much.
Me too. Like, there's nothing worse than using a lube and then it starts to dry out and gets tacky and you're like, this is the antithesis of why I'm using you.
Exactly. I'm like, this is basically like sandpaper at this point. I'm not a fan anymore.
Right. So yeah, I was so excited to get the sample. And it's one of those things where like, you know, something awesome's coming in the mail. And as soon as you get it, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but you like take your pants off and run to the bedroom.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I was really excited to try it. And I was so pleased with how it felt. And I literally have used it in all the holes and it works wonderful for so far all the things that I've tried it on.
Great.
So I would love for you to tell everybody a little bit about it and what kind of prompted you to decide, I'm going to make lube, damn it.
Well, I've been writing LTASX for a while now, about 7 years, actually. I think, it'll be 7 years in February. And through that time, I've reviewed a ton of lubes. And I've never actually been long-term satisfied with any of them. Like, they work well for a while, but then after a while you start using it, it's like, oh, this is not as slick as I want it to be, or it's not, you know, it doesn't taste quite right, or something. There's usually something off about it. And I was just kind of sick of paying, one, so much for lube, and two, not even being satisfied with what I got. Because if I, you know, could find something decent at a higher price, I'd be okay with paying it. Just give me something good. But I just played around because I needed something for my hair. I needed something for my skin. And I was really interested in something that could do all three.
Oh, yeah.
I come from like this Alton Brown sort of school of cooking. I'm a trained chef. And the Butters is essentially like a frosting for the skin. And it works really, really well for both the skin and for the lube purposes, because it gives you like a coating of slickness in the shea butter and the palm oil and all those natural oils that I use in there.
Just to put it out there for everyone to make sure they know, because there's oil in this lube, it's not latex safe, which means you can either opt for a latex free barrier if you're using barriers, or use it for all the things that don't involve latex.
Exactly. And one of the things I've been pointing out to people is that you can actually use the internal condom with these, because those are latex free. And I love the internal condoms. They're so much more comfortable to use. And like, if you can like afford the little bit of a price hike, I say go for that.
I'm so excited to hear you say that, because I like wax poetic about internal condoms all the time, but I haven't had a cis guy actually say, I enjoy this too, other than my partner. Mm-hmm. And so I love hearing that you find that condom enjoyable and delicious, because I'm constantly just telling people, have you tried it? Have you tried it? Have you tried it? Because you should.
And people should.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is a little bit more expensive. External condoms tend to run like $1 a piece, and these usually run $2 a piece. But if you really like them, you can buy them in bulk. But yeah, you're so right. Like, it's latex free. It works in all the holes. It's a totally different sensation for folks who have an attached penis.
Absolutely.
So the Butters can literally be used for like moisturizing your skin. How do you use it in your hair? Like, as a styling gel?
No, you can actually just use it like a leave-in conditioner.
Oh, nice.
My partner, he's white and has like thin, fine hair. Okay. And it works pretty well for him. He just has to like control the amount he puts in. Mm-hmm. I use a lot more because my hair is thicker and curlier. But it's really great.
That's amazing. And I love that you're a trained chef, because I am an amateur chef, and like, I'm at some point I'm going to win MasterChef. So,
of course.
So I love that you're using this skill that you have to use science and experimenting and creating something that really works for your body. Like, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. What has been the response so far to the lube?
So far, I have been surprised actually with how much people like it. I create things a lot. I'm a very creative person, but there's been very few things that I've done where the response has been almost universally positive. Mm-hmm. And it's been really exciting to get that and experience all of those talents I've built up over the years coming together in, you know, lube and moisturizer and.
Yeah. So what's kind of your vision for the Butters? Like, do you have plans for other kinds or different versions, or what's that look like?
Yes. So like right now I have the Butters, which is oil based. But I understand that some people can't use that. Some people don't like soy. Some people don't like palm. So I'd like to be able to offer, like, I hate to use the word, but like bespoke versions.
Yeah.
For people, as well as just like offering versions that are like soy free. I've been trying to figure out one that is all aloe based without having to go glycerin. And the closest thing I can think of right now is like a mucusy texture, which is good because that's, you know, natural lubrication. But how do you accomplish that? That's the question.
That's so exciting. And I actually kind of love the idea of custom lubes because to me, that would be actually such a fantastic gift to give like a partner or a lover of, like, yes. I know these things don't work for you. Guess what? I had a custom lube made just for you and it's amazing.
Exactly. That would be great.
Seriously. I would be over the moon if someone did that for me.
Because like you can like. People don't like scents or they don't like flavors. They don't like this or that. And if you could get your own custom lube, like the Butters is unscented and unflavored, but I could definitely get like some essential oils. I could, you know, get some sugar-free food flavorings that would be perfect for internal use, all that sort of stuff to just make something really cool.
The first thing my mind went to when you said essential oils was like, and if someone wanted to be deliciously sadistic, they could have you add like a mint oil or something so that it would be tingly.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
Yes, your bits are tingling, and they're going to stay that way for a long time.
And also, they'll taste good and be minty fresh.
Right. What a fun adventure to go on, just kind of deciding to do this and create it and to have it be realized.
It has been exciting. This is my first, like, product, I guess you could say. I'm really, really happy to just see it out there and see people using it and enjoying it. I sponsored Onyx, which is a black gay leather community. They have chapters all across the country. They had a Long Beach leather competition last weekend, actually. And I had sponsored them with some lube samples. And I was just thinking, like, this weekend, people are going to get fisted and massaged and loved. And they're going to be using my lube. That's so cool.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's so great. And I love that you're like, oh, people are going to be getting fisted with my lube.
It's like, exciting. I'm so proud.
Yeah, you should be, because there's some really shitty products out there.
Yes, there are.
You know, I think one of the things that never ends as a sex educator is every time I go to teach a workshop and there's new people in the workshop, and so many of the questions that I get on the podcast from like new listeners is people don't realize how terrible so much of the lube is that's out in the world. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to have an affordable option that feels so awesome is really exciting. And, you know, I love that, like, with 3D printers and with kind of this entrepreneurial spirit that you have, people are starting to be able to really create things that work for themselves and then share that with others versus having to turn to, like, you know, the CVS's and the Rite Aid's of the world to buy sugar-heavy, sticky lubes that
exactly.
are expensive and don't really do great stuff.
Like, I absolutely love how... how take charge people have become, especially here in America since like the financial downturn. People have been creating more. They've been doing more. They've been taking more initiative with both their life and their care because they have to. They're like, we're starting to realize as time goes on that no one's going to do it if we won't.
Yeah.
And for, you know, things of sexual health, that's something that we actually have to put a lot of effort into, because not only are there very few people doing it in the mainstream, but like you can't really have a store that's sex based on, you know, any normal financial chain. You can't really have it on any quote unquote normal social network. So it's hidden away. So that makes us have to work harder to even get the word out and do the things to help us succeed in the bedroom and out.
I don't know that most people realize how difficult it is to be an educator and entrepreneur in the sex realm as far as like the limitations that we're constantly facing of not being able to run paid Facebook ads or Twitter ads or Pinterest ads. And like, I can't even run Google AdWords because what I talk about is sex. And so literally the only way to get the word out is through networking and like word of mouth and putting out something that's great so that people share it. And so for you to really take on this adventure and for it to be such an awesome product is really exciting.
I have, in the time running LTSX, I've come into three of those big, like, stumbling blocks. Like, I had Google AdWords cancel me because LTSX talks about sex. Yep. And apparently there's absolutely no advertiser in the world that's okay with doing the one thing that is most likely to create more consumers. that I've also had, like, Squarespace, which is my web host, tell me that I couldn't have certain content on my website. Like, they didn't want actual sex, even if it wasn't in porn, but nudity's okay. And then, like, recently with the store, I had to switch from having a store directly on LTASX to putting it on my main website, JeromeStuartNichols.com, because Square, the financial, the payment provider, mm-hmm. is also objects to, you know, the content level. And I'm like, why are you making it harder?
Yeah, it's such a challenge, and it's, like, it's definitely an uphill battle that I think a lot of people don't realize. You know, I think because, like, the internet is for porn, everyone kind of assumes that getting access to good information about sex must be really easy and getting it out there, and it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes a lot of perseverance and creativity. So you mentioned that you'd been doing LTA sex for 7 years.
Yep.
And I'd love to know, like, what are some of the things that you've created over the course of those 7 years with LTASX, or some of your favorite topics that you've created videos around or written around?
Two of my favorites that come to mind. There was this series of videos that I did for a show called Let's Talk About Sex. It was, the show not itself wasn't short-lived, but that sort of format was short-lived. And then the other thing was a booklet of STD facts. It was everything you need to know about STIs, which is what I changed it to after, you know, terminology changes. And it was just like these single page documents that told you exactly what people in the real world needed to know about these sexually transmitted infections. And I'm going to actually release an update sometime in the next couple of months, which is going to include things like Zika and the flu, and some of the more non-traditional infections that you can get through sex, and how to prevent them.
That sounds like a really fascinating project, and definitely something that I know a lot of people need access to, because I think information about STIs tends to be either super, super medical, or kind of like word of mouth, friends talking, and there's not a lot of stuff in between that's factual and important, but also really accessible and easy to read and understand, and it feels like it was written for you. So that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's one of the most, like, academic facing projects that I've done. I actually have the PDF available for people for free to download and use in their classes and print out and do whatever they want with. I can actually, like, send that link over so you can put it on if you'd like.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. Thank you. Yay for STI information. Yeah, I try to talk about STIs, and I had Sarah Miller on the show recently talking about herpes, and I get so many emails from people who are either recently found out that they have, like, herpes or HPV, or they are interested in dating somebody, or a friend got it, and they just don't know how to have these conversations, and there's so much shame and misinformation, and so I would love to be able to share that with everyone listening.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Let's talk about this for a second, okay? STIs are a very interesting situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's been one of my personal goals in life to sort of add that ambivalence to STIs the way we have with, like, most other infections. And so I got gonorrhea this year, or actually chlamydia this year, through having some great sex. And it was an interesting experience for me because I had not had that happen before. Mm-hmm. I hadn't had any STIs. I had what turned out to be a scare, and that brought about, you know, a bunch of different feelings, which I talked about in the YouTube videos I mentioned earlier. But actually experiencing it and the pain that it causes, and, like, the experience is totally different, but I always said that it was a lot like the flu. I'm wrong. It's not like the flu. It's easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I, like, it hurt. Yep. Don't get me wrong. And, like, it stung a little bit, but the flu, I'm dead. Like,
yeah.
I'm in bed for a week, too.
Yep.
But like this, it was 2 days, antibiotics, mm-hmm. and I was done. And I have not had any other problems. I wish things were this easy to cure.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like most people aren't actually scared of having the bumps and having the itch. And, you know, it's like it's not the actual infection. It's the stigma around the infection. It's having to go to a doctor and have those embarrassing conversations and then potentially getting judged. It's having to tell a partner and potentially they break up with you. It's like having to come out when you're dating. You know, it's like people are afraid of the social aspects of mm-hmm. STIs. And I think the actual fear around the infection itself and like the symptoms and the experiences is something most people don't actually think about. You know, it's just like, well, now I have to tell somebody that I had this experience. And because our sex negative culture is so eager to be like, oh, well, you must be a bad person. You must sleep around. And there's like all these moral judgments. But I love that you're sharing this. And I think you're so right. We have so much ambivalence around getting colds or getting flus. And those things happen because we're in spaces with other people who have that infection and then we catch it because they coughed or they touched something. And we're not like socially ostracizing folks for spreading their cold.
Exactly. And I really don't think that we should be doing it for anything at all. No mm-hmm. sicknesses, not STIs, not mental illnesses, nothing. Mm-hmm. One yeah. can't really help what their body does. We're all kind of, you know, walking around in bodies that are constantly dying. Like, we're doing our best here.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's like, no matter how many precautions you take, there you can certainly avoid getting a cold or the flu for years and years and years at a time. But mm-hmm. there's still going to be a point in time where no matter how many precautions you take, no matter, you know, what kinds of foods you eat, no matter how little you go out in public, that you're still going to in some way have some type of encounter with a disease or an infection. And, you know, the same goes for STIs. It's like you can take all these precautions and potentially avoid it for a really, really long period of time. But the latest CDC data says that if you're sexually active up until you're 60, then 80% of us are going to end up with something.
Absolutely. Like, I avoided it for 28 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not as if, like, me being, you know, the sexually liberated person that I am is somehow leading me to get more STIs. In fact, this situation where I got the chlamydia was with a partner with whom had been to the doctor, had been tested, but their medical professional failed to test anally for chlamydia because it was a cisgendered boy. And of course, what would a cisgendered boy be doing having anal sex? It doesn't make sense to his provider, at least. And that ended up with me having a problem in my penis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all it would have taken was, you know, an extra 5 minutes and a cotton swab, and we could have prevented all of that.
Yeah, I've encountered ignorance from the medical community in similar ways. Like, I was talking to a new OBGYN about birth control options for me, and she was making recommendations without asking me at all about my situation. And her assumption was that I was monogamous and in a long-term relationship and making recommendations based on those assumptions. And at no point did she ask me, do you have multiple sexual partners? Do you have multiple people in your life that are all having sex with other people? And, you know, I had to actually stop her at that point because I had multiple partners at the time and say, will this work for me if I have multiple partners that I'm engaging in sex with? And she literally didn't know how to answer the question because it never crossed her mind that might be the case.
Of course it hasn't.
You know, and it just really struck me of like, we have to be able to advocate for ourselves in asking better questions, because at least at this point, doctors just don't have the information or the access to even know how to have these conversations themselves.
Absolutely. And you would think that they would, because a lot of doctors do spend their lives being re-educated, mm-hmm. learning the new techniques, learning the new medications. But like, I wrote about PrEP. Pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is mm-hmm. like, you know, a pill you can take daily to prevent HIV. Like, I wrote about the trials on LTA sex in maybe 2012, 2013, something like that. In 2015, I go to my doctor after it's already been FDA approved and on the market for 18 months, 2 years, and she has no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I wasn't educated, if I didn't know, not only would I not have been able to go and ask for it, but it would have never been offered to me.
Yeah.
And like, we're talking about a pill that can prevent HIV 100% in trials. Like, that is amazing and completely culture shifting. And we need to be getting the word out about these things to our doctors so that they can get the word out to everyone else who's not being able to hear us because we can't buy Facebook ads.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've had similar challenges around being fat and hormonal birth control in that so many doctors will just like offer hormonal birth control or, you know, talk about like taking Plan B. But the thing is, all of those medications have been tested on people who are 175 pounds on average. So if you're heavier than that, there can be a much higher chance of hormonal birth control failing you.
Especially Plan B specifically.
Yes, exactly. Especially Plan B specifically. And, you know, unfortunately, so many medical providers aren't even aware of that. And so then there's all kinds of unintended pregnancies happening because those conversations aren't had. And it's definitely an epidemic.
And it's one that we need to be addressing quickly.
I totally agree. Well, speaking of experts, one of the things that I totally love that you have on LTA Sex is this sex positive directory for professionals of color. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because some of the names that you have in this directory are amazing people doing amazing work.
Right. Like, okay, I have been running LTA Sex for 7 years, as I said. In that time, most of the people I've come across have been women, and they've also been white. And when I say women, I mean cis women. My apologies. It's very, very hard if you're outside of that particular demographic to find someone who suits you. I wanted to find people who were black, and I had to search a long time to find people, like more than a handful. And I feel like that should not have to be the case, because if we are really wanting to expand the world of sexual health education and really get this information out to people, then we need to be connecting not just with people who look like us, but we need to be connecting people who don't look like us with people who look like them.
Yes.
And the Sex Positive Professional of Color directory features not just black people. It's anyone of any color. And it's just meant to help people find sex professionals, whether it's a blogger, a doctor, a nurse practitioner, a doula, that is aware and educated with, you know, LGBTQ issues or queer issues, as I prefer to say. People who are knowledgeable about polyamory, people who are knowledgeable about, you know, people who are pregnant and have HIV, all these sorts of, you know, little incremental things that really change the way that we see, view, and experience the world.
Yeah.
And it's crucial for that to happen.
I totally agree. And I think one of the things that's so powerful about your directory, and of course, I'll link to this on Sex Gets Real for this episode so everyone can go check it out. But I mean, you've got people on there who are prep educators. You've got master fetish trainers, therapists, surrogates. You've got Shine Louise Houston, who runs Pink and White Productions, which is like, I talk about that porn all the time.
They're amazing.
I know, they're so amazing. And like coaches and educators and journalists. I mean, there's such a wide variety of stuff out here that people need access to. And so I really hope everyone will go check it out, because there's so many people doing so many amazing things, and it's just hard to get those voices out into the world because of everything that we were talking about earlier. And I really adore so many of the people that you've got on your directory and the work that they do. So it's fantastic you're creating this resource where people can kind of dig around and roll around and see what's out there and who might be a good fit for what I'm working through.
Exactly. And if you are a sex positive professional of color, please make sure you add yourself. Like, don't hesitate. As long as you're actually sex positive, I am very open to putting anyone in that directory, because I really want. Just like I like my focus with the butters is to help people, like, you know, have sex better and moisturize better. It's like the sex positive profession of color directory. I want people to, like, heal better and birth better. And I can't do everything.
Yeah.
But there are people out here doing amazing work, and I want to help them connect with one another.
Well, I want everyone to go check it out, just so that if nothing else, even if you're not looking to hire anybody or work with anybody right now, you know about these folks so that you can tell your friends, or so that you can make recommendations to people in your lives or your family. I mean, there's just...
if you're a journalist and you can stop interviewing the same five people...
Yes, exactly. And get some new voices out there sharing all of their expertise and their knowledge. I mean, one of the most amazing things right now is your latest addition is Jet Setting Jasmine. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that they use female pronouns, or she, hers. Okay. She, so her picture is so fucking fierce. And yes, so you, like, you open this directory and there's just this, like, beautiful, beautiful person in these strappy underwear and bra. And you're just like, well, of course she's a master fetish trainer. I mean, like, holy crap, she's fantastic.
Like, I was so happy to see her in my email. I was like, oh my God, you want to be in my directory? Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Well, I have a number of listener questions that I thought we could roll around in, just knowing about your background and all the things you're interested in. And so if you're up for it, I'd love for us to roll around.
Let's roll around. Let's get this
okay. So this first one is about pubic hair and cis guys. And I'm hoping that you might have some ideas, so that we can kind of just, like, spitball this one.
Okay.
So Fasty wrote in and it says, hi Dawn, I'm a listener of your podcast. I have a question that you may be able to help me with, and I know that you're gonna see this question. So you may have gotten this before, but I haven't heard you answer it. I need help with pubic hair removal. I'm a 29-year-old cis male. I'm bi, but in a monogamous relationship with what I consider the perfect woman. I've been with her for 9 years, and yes, there's pegging. I know that you like that. It says, I know that shaving pubes is something that women generally get down much earlier than most guys, and that most salons are willing to wax a vag before a penis. But what about us men? I've trimmed or shaved pretty much exclusively for the past decade, but my skin is sensitive as hell, and I'm always getting razor burn and ingrown hairs no matter what shaving method I use. So what are your thoughts? I don't want to go back to only trimming because I definitely prefer bald, but I'm not sure if I'm the only guy suffering from this, if salons will see me, and the few times that I've tried myself, it hasn't gone well and I end up with bumps. Thank you, Fasty. So, pubic hair. Mm-hmm. Do you have experience with pubic hair removal on your own body?
I have limited that throughout my life, but I do know a great solution to this particular problem.
Yay.
So if, like, at first I was going to say, like, if he's up for not going bald, I would just prefer that he trimmed, because you have pubic hair for a reason.
Yeah.
And it will help you, stay cleaner down there. And it also smells good and feels soft, if it's moisturized and taken care of properly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I understand some people don't exactly want that. So he wants to be bald. The best thing I would suggest that he do is find his local gay Yellow Pages and look up a person who does waxing in his area. Mm-hmm. It may not necessarily be a gay person who does it, but they may do gay men in the area, they may do sex workers, they may do anything like that, where they would have a bit more experience dealing with not only the male body, but helping you figure out how to prevent all those razor bumps and things, because that should not be happening in this world where we have all these great and wonderful products that can, you know, get your baby bottom clean, even in the front.
Yeah, I love that suggestion so much of finding either gay yellow pages or some type of gay directory, or finding out, yeah, where folks in your community go who, where there's practitioners who are comfortable with all bodies and who aren't just solely servicing cis women.
Right.
'Cause you're so right. Like there are for sure in any major city, barbershops and salons that cater to gay men and would absolutely be able to help with not only like shaving your pubic hair, but getting your ass waxed or your ass bleached, or, you know, like all the things that people are interested in for a variety of reasons. So that never occurred to me. And I'm so glad I let you answer that question.
if you're not in an area that has one of these gay places, which there are lots of places that don't, you can also try a Korean spa. Asian men tend to be more okay with waxing since they tend to be hairless to begin with. So, like, it's kind of a thing that they're comfortable doing to stay hairless. It's also having to do with youth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll often find Korean spas that are capable of doing it. You might also want to avoid maybe like the highest of high-end spas, because those are mostly going to cater to women wanting a very specific sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you could go to a chain of places that do it, they might also be more capable of doing it, because men tend to be more practical in their shopping practices.
Yeah.
And go places where the guys go.
Those are really fantastic suggestions. 'Cause I, you know, I go back and forth. Sometimes I shave, sometimes I just go like full blown bush. It just kind of depends on my mood and how I'm feeling. And what's interesting is I spent so many decades feeling like if I didn't shave, then I would be somehow disappointing my partner, because I felt like the cultural expectation was, of course, you shave it bald. That's what everyone does. And then I kind of had this like, fuck that noise. I can have pubic hair if I want to.
Absolutely.
And now that I have it, like, you're so right. The silky smoothness, and it feels so good, and like tugging on it is just a whole new level of like sexual pleasure that's not there when it's bald. And oh my God, it's delicious. But I totally get also wanting to choose that for yourself. So
yeah, absolutely. One thing people might not think about when it comes to like shaving their pubic hair is that if you have a little bit of pubic hair there, it creates a space gap for oral sex, so that you can breathe a little bit better. If it's skin to skin, it's going to be a more airtight seal around your mouth. So you'll have to like back up a little further, and that can, you know, it can change the flow of the sex. And I'm like, I'd rather, you know, just go for it if I can.
I'm going all in.
Exactly.
Well, Fasty, I hope that helps. I would definitely say just one of the byproducts of shaving is going to be skin irritation if you have really sensitive skin. I have really sensitive skin, and so I have to like really take care to make sure I take a warm bath and my pores are nice and dilated and the skin is super soft, and use a really high quality shaving cream and just like the whole nines. But I would love to hear the results of you looking for a gay salon or spa or something like that, because that was such a smart suggestion from Jerome.
And you can use the butters for that sensitive skin stuff. Not only will it heal, but it'll prevent the skin from being so sensitive to ripping in the first place. It's a pretty good shaving cream. And razor-wise, you might want to check out this company called Bevel. They specialize in razors for people with coarse and curly hair. Pubes tend to be coarse and curly. It's a single blade razor, and it gives you a very, very, very nice, clean shave. I use it on my face, and I am very prone to razor bumps because I have, you know, curly, like the curliest of curly hair that humans have.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get lots of ingrown hairs, but with the Bevel system, I don't.
Oh, another excellent suggestion. Okay, well, I will have that information on Sex Gets Real for this episode, so anyone who wants to check it out can find it nice and easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this question from someone who calls themselves Fear Shame. Okay. And the email is a little longer, but I think it's important to read the whole thing. And it's one of those emails when it came in, it just like broke my heart. And I so wanted to be able to help this person, but I feel like I'm not a person who can speak to this. Okay. So the subject line is smaller black man feeling shame and fear. Mm-hmm. And here's the message. I know as soon as you read the word smaller in the subject line, you might let out a sigh of exasperation. Not another one of these again. And I'm sorry, but I hope you will humor me. I'm a black guy, and I fall far short of the stereotype. I've listened to your episodes 73 and 51. Those were the only ones I could find with small penis in the name. And the level of understanding and empathy you have on this issue is amazing. I'm really trying to get better, but I'm so afraid of women and how they'll judge me. I thought I have to be proactive. And so I accepted an invitation from a female friend for an event. I got to meet some of her friends and acquaintances, and one of them seemed really cool. I talked with her more, hoping that there might be something there, and she seemed really responsive. But somehow the conversation turned to penises, and she went on and on about the wonders of baby arms, that's in quotes, and everyone reacted with oohs and ahs and wow, amazing, at her reference to an 8-inch long, thick dick. By this point, I was in the corner trying to fake a smile, and I had completely given up my pursuit. My heart was racing, and I felt nothing but shame and fear running through me. I don't know how to overcome this. I'm so afraid of women. I know you said we should flip the script and be confident. Focus on all the things that we can do to satisfy women. But as soon as I heard that reaction to the long, thick dick and how much they desired it and how much it seems to make all the women wet with their panties, my bravery and confidence melted and I was just afraid and shameful again in the corner. So I want to be better. I'm reading a book called She Comes First by Ian Kerner, and I'm hoping that will compensate for my smaller penis. I want to feel confident and secure. I know that's the destination. I just don't know how to get there. As a black man, I'm supposed to feel strong and confident. We're supposed to be the living embodiment of strength. Big dicks are our thing, our pride, except for me. Mine is my shame. Like there was this big black dick party where they were all handed out and I got left out. I think about how good they must feel to have their manhood, their identity as men be praised and almost worshipped. How proud, how strong, how masculine they must feel to have their manhood affirmed. How amazing must that wide-eyed gasp and look of awe be when they drop their pants. They're considered real men in a way I can never be. They even said there was a case in Nigeria where a woman got divorced because her husband was too big. The woman I talked to said that that guy must be so proud. He must be strutting down the streets telling everyone he was too big for his wife. Even when it's too big, it's something people praise. I'm sorry for going on so long. There's no one I can talk to about my feelings on this. And I just wonder how I can ever achieve the same feeling of sexual strength and masculinity. I remember the look of disappointment from my only sex partner. It's been years now, and I'm in my mid-20s. How would you want a smaller black man to act? How can I give the feeling of masculinity and strength in that just hearing about a big dick gives you? Thanks. So a lot of feelings.
Yeah. And I understand where he's coming from too.
Yeah.
It's the idea that black men are supposed to have like these big dicks, it's, well, it comes from a falsehood, one. And two, there's also this history of black male bodies specifically being put on display. Mm-hmm. So you see them, and they're flaccid, and they're just dangling there. And they look different than white penises. They look different than XYZ. And if you see, and if you're like breeding, essentially, which is what happened to black men during like slavery, they were bred to be huge, gigantic men. But that's not like the natural state of humans. We vary a lot, you know, from person mm-hmm. to person. So like the reality yeah. is everybody's not going to be Mr. Mandingo. And in fact, the truth is studies after study after study has shown that most women are more satisfied sexually with a partner with a smaller dick. I can tell you, as a person who's had penis inside of me in multiple locations, I prefer an average or smaller dick. Big dicks are cool. They're fine. They're great. But they are not actually super pleasurable unless what you're after is like the feeling of being punched in the diaphragm.
Right.
Which is dope. I mean, yeah. like everybody wants to climb Mount Olympus once or twice. But on the daily, the sex that you can have with any random penis, and I mean like even down to like half an inch, is probably more pleasurable than you can have with the shame and any big dick, any normal dick. My dick is maybe 6 inches. But I don't, and I used to fear a lot that, you know, my dick was too thin, quote unquote. But then I actually started having sex with people who enjoyed me and the sex that we had. And then I realized, oh, wait, if you won't date me or you don't want me because you think my dick is too small, you don't actually like me at all. And, well, fuck you. Because I deserve to be with somebody who sees me, loves me, and appreciates the body that I have and not the idea that they want in their head. You are dating a human and not an ideal.
Yeah.
And when you're going out there and meeting women, and they're, if they're looking disappointed, no. Because you don't deserve that. You don't deserve people to be, like, disappointed in your body. Like, what kind of mess is that? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep.
If anybody ever did that to me, I'd be like, well, I'm pulling up my pants and you can go to hell.
Because I'm going to go enjoy myself by myself.
Exactly. And like, I have to say, where are these people getting these measurements of dicks? Because who do you know walks around with like a tape measure to measure a dick? Most of the time, they're just guessing. So like, if, you know, she says she had 8 inches, she probably had a solid 6 that felt really great. And I honestly think that if you got more practice in learning how to please not only other people, but yourself, you might develop a sexual power, a sexual confidence, because you got to practice it. It's not just something you're going to get, and it's not just something you're going to figure out. I had to fuck a lot. And then I figured it out. And it feels good to be that strong, to be that powerful, but it's not, it can't just come from the size of your dick.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have rhythm, you're not going to be great. Ask any woman who just started pegging and does not know what they're doing yet. Like,
yep, takes practice.
Exactly. But like, once you get your stroke up, basically, as long as you kind of like the strap on, like, it's going to be okay, right?
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure the same thing works with penises.
Yeah.
And those are real, and they have blood flowing through them, and they swell, and they're hot, and they taste really great. And semen tastes good. So, like, you know, that comes out of basically any penis, right? So, I mean, there's lots to love there.
Yeah.
No matter what you have, and no matter what size it is.
Yeah. I've said some version of this before in the past, but it's definitely worth repeating for all of us in all of our bodies. You know, I'm in a fat body, and I'm still trying to unpack that fear that I have around the fact that I'm supposed to be thin to be sexy. You know, it's an ongoing journey to unpack and confront those stories. And so many people out in the world are just living out the stories and the scripts that they've been told they're supposed to live out. Right. And so, you know, I think so much of this, like, size being a thing is important. When you're heterosexual and the sex that you're told you're supposed to be having is penis and vagina sex, size can seem important, because if no one's touching your clit and no one's putting fingers inside you and no one's doing anything else to your body and you have a vulva, then size might be one of the only ways that you actually feel some pressure on your clit or that you feel kind of something happening in your body. And the thing is, when you start having sex with people, and I'm speaking from personal experience, like when you start having sex where there's fingers involved and mouths and toys and you're really focused on pleasure and less about playing out that penis and vagina heteronormative script, like sex gets so much better and penis size genuinely doesn't matter when you have 50 different options and penis play is one of those options. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's really hard to live that when you're not actually getting affirming experiences that support what like you and I are saying here.
Right.
You know, we can sound like talking heads, and this person is in tremendous amounts of pain and shame, and so it can feel like there's this huge gap between what we're saying and their lived experience.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and I super get that, but I think you're so right, Jerome, of like, the first couple of times that I put myself out there to just kind of have some sex with folks after I came out of, you know, 13 years of lesbian and trans relationships. So it was my first time kind of hooking up with cis dudes in a really long time. The first couple of people I hooked up with, I was fucking terrified and ashamed of how my body looked and my tummy and my stretch marks and convinced that they were just having sex with me kind of out of like desperation rather than because they actually liked me. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't a terrific feeling. But what I learned through just being willing to put myself in that situation was that no, they actually were enjoying me and we were having like really fun sex that felt really good. And they weren't running away screaming or looking at me with disappointment when my clothes came off. And I had to start kind of retelling myself new stories about like what sex looked like in my body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that does take a little bit of courage, but I love what you're saying about fuck anyone who looks at your body with disappointment. Like, that person doesn't deserve you.
Not even in the slightest.
No, not at all. And, like, you might run into assholes who do that, and that can hurt really bad when it happens.
Yes.
But no, like, that is not the majority of people that you're going to encounter. Yeah. If you're, you know, talking with people who are decent and nice and seem interested in you, when the clothes come off, the likelihood they're going to say something or look at you with disappointment is small.
I want to step back for a second and put a little bit of like actual instruction in here, because you mentioned that there can seem like a distance between, you know, what we're talking about and what he's actually experiencing.
Yeah.
And I understand that in like just so well, as I've had to do that with, you know, being Black and then dating white people. With being fat and then dating people who are thinner than me, with being, you know, not particularly what one would particularly describe as like traditionally masculine. I'm very happily gay, so that softens my edge a bit. And all of these things make me feel different, and they make me feel less than, or at least they did. And I figured that if I was going to actually get through these issues, then I was going to have to be a bit bold about taking on the problems. The first one I actually did was my weight. I wanted to lose weight, but I also was like, if you want to fuck me when I'm thin and you didn't want to before, you will never touch my body ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like that if I was going to lose weight and then love my body, then I would be required to love my body as it was. Because if I'm just loving my body because it's thin, I'm not actually loving my body. I'm loving that I fit in.
Right.
And that's not enough.
Yep.
So what I did was I started to take pictures of myself naked. Fully naked. It started with like selfies that worked their way down from being just like face to like chest to like camera on a tripod, completely science anatomical pictures, to being like a full on art set of photos that I was like, wow, I'm cute. I'm this, I'm that. And I like the way I look in these photos with my stretch marks, with my baggy arms, you know, with my three different colors of brown skin. You know, like I don't mind looking at this. Mm-hmm. And for him, one thing he can do is start taking pictures of his dick. He doesn't actually have to show them to anyone. And he can delete them right afterwards. But he needs to be able to see what other people see when they're face-to-face with it. Looking down at your penis, it is a different experience than looking at it face-on. And if you are 4 feet away from it, standing up or even sitting down, you're getting 4 feet of difference, 4 feet of light shrinkage. So you never actually get to see what you're dealing with. You can feel it in your hands. You can do whatever. But until you actually get that firsthand experience, you don't know what you're working with. So try taking pictures of yourself. Try and make your penis look cute. Take a shower. You know, tug out the extra pubes. Get nice and moist so you don't have an ashy penis. Take pictures and, like, make it look the best it can. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see that you actually have something cool down there if you give it some love.
Yeah.
Because part of the reason why you may not feel love towards your penis is because you're not giving it any love, so it's not showing you any respect. Like, mm-hmm. like you have to love your body for it to pay you back in that way.
Yeah, or at least have some type of invitation for a dialogue versus exactly. just disgust.
Exactly. You cannot look at your body like it's intrinsically flawed and wrong because it does not match up to a single standard. There are 7 billion people on this planet, and I guarantee you that the vast majority of them do not fit whatever rule they have for themselves.
Yeah.
So you have to learn what your body is, how it is. Mm-hmm. And then as you get a little more brave, you can maybe start a Tumblr. Start a Twitter. It doesn't even have to be under your real name. Put some hashtags under there and look at the amount of people who will like and reblog and thirst after your dick, mm-hmm. even though you don't think it's that great. Yeah. You would be surprised. Like, I weigh 400 something pounds, and I put those pictures of myself online, tons of likes. People following me, telling me I'm pretty, telling me I'm this and that. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I am. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping me see what I couldn't see. Yeah. Thank you for being open to my body and for, you know, even just objectifying me, which in some ways is totally fine if what you're trying to get is a feeling of sexual power. Mm-hmm. Like, if what you like is that I'm a gigantic black dude, that's fine as long as you also see that I'm a person, because me being a gigantic black dude is part of what makes me sexy.
Yeah.
And you having your penis, you having your skin color, you having your hair texture, you having, you know, your different muscles, the way your body is shaped, all these different things about you make you sexy. Mm-hmm. And you can find that through photos, through videos, through getting reinforcement from yourself, and then branching out to get reinforcement from others.
Yeah.
It'll also give you practice with dealing with people who are like, ugh, don't nobody want to see that. Ugh, didn't want to, nobody want to read your ugly text, so go on somewhere. Bye.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, I think something else that it's super easy to forget because we're all just so entrenched in our own stories and experiences that we can also forget that when we're with someone who's sharing their body with us, they have just as many insecurities as we do. And so I love this suggestion of like taking pictures and learning how to embrace yourself and even getting to a point where you share it with others, because there's so many people who are going to look at Fear Shame's body and see something beautiful and wish that their body looked like his in some way. You know, whether it's the narrowness of your hips or the shape of your hands or whatever it is, you know, I mean, like, there are going to be people who feel deep insecurity about some part of their body and can look at your body and genuinely say, like, wow, I wish my hands looked like that, or I wish my fingers looked like that, or I wish my legs were that strong, or whatever it is. And so, or leaving space for the fact that everyone has these insecurities, even though shame makes us feel like we're the only one. That's how shame works. Mm-hmm. And in no way are you the only one. And I'm so glad that you brought up to just the history of, like, Black male bodies on display and breeding and kind of the ways that Black men still to this day are really only valued in very specific ways, mm-hmm. so that they're consumable, you know, the certain types of bodies for, like, sports athletes and for porn stars and for rap stars and things like that. And that's such a tiny percentage of the actual experience of, like, Black male bodies. But we're allowing these controlled narratives to then tell us how Black bodies should look. And, like, that's super fucked up and causes so much pain, like this person's experiencing.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling from the way he describes his experiences that he might be dating people outside of the Black community. Mm-hmm. And that can be a different experience as well, because not even just white people, but people who aren't the darkest of dark can have this different experience from darker people who, where it's just very, you are that one thing. Mm-hmm. I can't relate to you in any other way except this one thing. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I enjoy that thing about you, but it's going to scare me to learn anything else. Mm-hmm. And that has to be something that he's aware of. Because you have to understand why they're doing that, why they're talking to you like that, why they're coming up to you. And it will help you find more peace with your situation in the world, because you'll be able to have a sense of control, mm-hmm. in any situation. I find for myself that in situations where I don't understand, it's the ones where I'm most anxious.
Yeah.
It's the ones where I'm most scared. It's the ones where I end up making, you know, bad decisions or backing away into a corner and being socially awkward. But when I know that this, you know, white dude who I'm hooking up with tonight is, you know, looking at me and talking to me in a certain way, I know why he's doing that. And I can say, this is not what is going to happen. What's going to happen is this for me, mm-hmm. and this is my body, and we can go ahead and discuss this ahead of time so that I can, you know, watch Law and Order if you have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to share one other quick thing. So Jerome and I are part of a group that's for sex educators, and I had posed this question in the group, and a few women who are also sex educators had weighed in and just shared things like, if you're at a party and there's a group of women who are all going on and on about the amazingness of big dicks, to pay attention to the women who may be standing there but aren't actually participating, because mm-hmm. there's inevitably going to be those women who don't agree with the conversation but want to be part of kind of the party atmosphere. And so they're sitting there sipping their drink, maybe smiling, but they're not actually participating in the conversation. So look for those people. And then a couple of other people commented that they have all been partnered with Black men who didn't have, like, great, big, gigantic, stereotypical horse cocks. And there's definitely people out there who aren't going to look at you and only want to be with you based on the size of your penis. Leave space for the fact that there are people out there who can fall in love with your body exactly as it is. Like, you have to allow people to love you, and you have to allow people to love your penis, because if you reject that, then you're just kind of putting yourself into this horrible fear shame spiral over and over and over again.
I would also caution him to start to build relationships mm-hmm. with people before he has sex with them, because you can often weed out people who only want you for your big black dick, or big black cock is something that is another turn of phrase that you should watch out for, because that's a very white word, mm-hmm. cock. And it signifies that person might be coming from a more, let's say, monochromatic background. And it would give you a sort of like a signal to say, oh, okay, this person is probably not looking at me like a full human, because they just don't have experience with people like me. They yeah. speak a different language. They have a different emotional understanding of what it's like to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And you can determine these things better the longer you spend time coming to know people.
Yeah.
And if you're going to a big black dick party, honestly, most of what people want there is just to be fucked by a black guy, because, yeah. you know, it's exotic and weird but exotic and special.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's shocking, and it probably pisses off some white guy somewhere. Like there's certain psychological things in there that you're actually getting from having sex with a black dude rather than actually just it being a big black dick.
Yep. Oh, I love those suggestions. I think they're really important. And hopefully, fear, shame, you feel like there were some suggestions in here that can help you to start kind of letting go of the anxiety that you have, and just know that you have lots of time. You're in your mid-20s to meet people and have these amazing experiences. And really, it's up to you to just start believing that there might be a possibility that you could enjoy your penis exactly as it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we are over our hour, Jerome, and I would really? Love for... Yeah, I know, right? It like flew by.
Cool.
I would love for you to share with everybody where they can find you online.
Okay. My main site for people who listen to this show would probably be ltasex.com. Those are just letters, ltasex.com. That's where I have my blog, and that's where you used to be able to buy the butters, but you can go to ltsx.com/thebutters, and it will just redirect you over to the proper site to buy it. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, at not Jerome Stewart. Stewart is Sturt. Other than that, Jerome@ltsx.info if you want to email me about anything. All my stuff's pretty simple.
Awesome. Well, I will have all of the links to everything that you just mentioned on sexgetsreal.com for this episode. And first, I just want to thank our listeners for writing in with these questions. And I want to thank you, Jerome, for being on the show that just like flew by.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you to all of you who have tuned in. Of course, if you have any questions or stories you'd like to share, you can submit those to me on sexgetsreal.com. There is an anonymous option. Also, be sure you're following Sex Gets Real on Twitter and Facebook, where I share all kinds of articles and tidbits, including like the picture of when I got the butters in the mail and I was off to masturbate. thank you to everybody who tuned in, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.